shop.
Russell. Yeah, I brought this in. I didn't think it was good. I didn't want to hear it recorded. My mom wanted to hear it, whatever. So. I was trying to mount that thing as a recorder. You're like, what is that?
Is your mom okay?
Yeah. Busy. He had something else going on tonight.
Yep, Madeline coming over to spend the night.
I'm glad that you're going to be a good mentor. I'm glad that you're looking at jobs and all. But I mean,
streets,
you know,
off.
If, yeah, if my wife was here, she's not impressed by anybody. You know? It's amazing.
Your wife?
My wife. She's not impressed by anybody. I'll tell her, well, I got to shake the governor's hand. She'll probably say, good luck. She's not impressed by people.
No. And yet, she married you. That says something.
I haven't thought about the ramifications of that. Yes. Unscrupulous.
My wife is an introvert. She really doesn't like people.
Is that right? I would not.
We're both introverts to a degree.
Yeah. You know what? I found that out about my wife after I married her, because before I married her, I thought she was quite extroverted. But when I married her, I found that wasn't really true.
You had probably seen her in a situation where she was very comfortable.
Right. Yeah. That's a good point.
And even myself, I prefer the process internally. When I'm with people, I have to be by myself afterwards.
Is that right? Recover.
Yes, recover.
Yeah.
I actually prefer that.
Interesting.
I love people, but it's interesting to look at the way that it's described. An introvert is not always somebody that's shy. It's somebody who processes internally. That's where they're the most comfortable. When I'm outgoing, it takes them.
She lived there for years, right?
So certain situations, social situations that I'm not familiar with, I'm less in church. I'm comfortable in church.
Right.
You know your boundaries, you know your expectations, your mission.
Yeah. Well, I think that emboldens us to realize that we represent this Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And so that gives us a boldness that we're not wrong to have.
Yes. And you're holding this book that is eternal truth. You know what I mean? Yeah.
I told you you were scared to go over there.
I realized that we're very similar. You know?
I told you over here. I was going to make my way.
It's been interesting for me, because having been in the ministry, you're aware of expectations on your spouse that may or may not be reasonable because of their personality.
Right. I think a lot of pastors' wives do not choose that. I mean, they're forced into it.
Right. Right.
You know, we choose it.
Yes.
But they come along.
They chose us.
Yeah. Right. I think there's very few pastors' wives that grow up wanting to be a pastor.
Called to the ministry, yeah. If you want to use that word. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's been interesting navigating that, finding out where to plug her in. You know, I remember when I first got married, the pastor that I was under looked at her and he said, he's not just your husband, he's also your pastor. And I went,
really?
That's interesting. Because it's not like a relationship with a normal church member.
No.
But you are their pastor.
We're excited. Well, congratulations. Boy and girl already. All right. Again, grandbaby.
I do agree with you, though. I look at different professions than I
do. We're not many masters knowing that we should receive the greater condemnation.
One thing about it, it's tough for all the people to work.
Yeah, that's true. It's so great. I wrestled with a call for a while because of that.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I felt like God called me when I was younger, but then when I got to college age, I resisted it.
Well, I felt called to pastor when I was 12 years old.
Right.
But not getting married until later in life, I just assumed I've always been an assistant pastor, associate pastor, until Brother Knickerbocker left. And I assumed that that's what God had for me. So it was quite a shock, you know. It was 3 weeks before I came to terms with it. In other words, there's a big difference between being associate pastor and pastor. I mean, the buck stops, you know, senior pastor. And a lot more pressure on the pastor than there is on the associate. But Brother Knickerbocker just, you know, basically said, "I want you to take the church." And I knew if somebody else took it, I probably would be staying around. Because that's what happened in Sarasota. You know, I stayed 2.5 years after new man came. And that's a critical, whenever a pastor leaves, that's a critical time. I mean, it's the devil. I see a lot of the Southern Baptist churches in our town. When they lose a pastor, they go into a tailspin.
Very vulnerable.
Yeah. Of course, Southern Baptist churches lose their pastors every 2 years. So. Yeah, they just, since I've been there, First Baptist Church in Arcadia, I would say has gone through 10 pastors. And some only last a few months.
How does that work? Do they just call the convention? And the convention send them a candidate? And then all, you know?
No, they choose. In fact, the last one was from Liberty, which I, you know, I'm not a particular Liberty fan, but I'd be more in favor of Liberty than any other Southern Baptist institution. And First Baptist is more conservative. In other words, they deliberately want to stay from Liberty. But you're right. It's just they will not free the pastor to run the church. That's what I think it is, yeah. And I think even a lot of independents, when we had our church split, the more I analyze, and I'm trying not to analyze it that much, I'm trying to think of what really happened to us. And, you know, what appeared to be the issues, maybe were not the issues. The issues was, are you going to let a pastor run the church? And by running the church, it was, you know, I had a Spanish pastor that was...
Hey, bud, excuse me, you get... Can I text you that picture when you get to that way?
Can you email it to me? Can I text?
Yeah, I can do that. I'll have to go.
Thank you. I would be thrilled to get it.
I'll figure it out. Yeah.
We're going to make a big 6x6-foot copy.
I can use my phone now. Do I have your email address?
I'll tell you what.
No, sir, I was too busy trying to get make sure we got your picture.
I never carry cards, but I knew I was coming to this place. I have never carried my card. But I figured, you know, I'll be running for office one day. Pardon me?
You didn't get one for us, the
Governor
Scott?
No. Give me a call when you need something.
Yeah, right. Give me a prayer.
Yeah.
I've been wondering about that too. I see people, and I could be wrong.
Cannot be a novice because that can't rule his head. I mean, he has to be a very humble leader. I realize that you've got to lead with people, not over people, or push people. And it takes, in many cases, in my case, it took some years to get where I could understand that concept, and I'm not an overlord.
I know, but
I do think I need to take a look at leadership. And, in other words, that the pastor chooses what sermon he's going to preach. He doesn't take a poll. I mean, and I think that when it comes to spiritual things, you don't poll on it.
If it's
spiritual, then the pastor needs to lead and be open to people coming and talking to him and trying to get the sense of the church.
Right.
But at the same time, another thing is, the pastor just needs to lovingly call the shots. I'm used to that. You know, I grew up that
way. I get every year.
I remember when I was in Sarasota, I was the youth director, which was a mismatch for me because I'm not that good with teenagers. But you know, the pastor, I was being devoted to junior. I was very hurt by that. It was my own pride. I mean, I never questioned it. I mean, that's what he wants us to get. But that's a major issue in some churches when the pastor shuffles people around. I mean, when you go to pastor in, and you're giving him the freedom to run the church, you've got to be able to trust him. I mean, either he's in or he's not. If he's in, then spiritual authority. I think you run from the idea of healing as only you talk to your father.
You say give us 2 weeks.
You approach an elder, a pastor, as a father. So,
except for the
you're right.
Passion.
types of leadership. And I think that God is using him to help these Southern Baptists get some things straightened out.
What was the name of the school you went to?
Baptist Bible College.
At the time I went through, the largest Bible college probably in the world, at least in the United States. Jerry Falwell went there. A lot of them in the Baptist Church. I mean, the Baptist Bible Fellowship, I think to this day, is the largest independent Baptist church.
That group is
one of those
foreigners, too. The college. Now, since they've gotten more liberal, I don't really have anything to do with them anymore. But, you know, they've accepted other colleges under their umbrella. So. But Heartland Baptist Bible College in Oklahoma City is the more conservative.
One of the things I started looking at after
when the Baptist Bible Fellowship lost their second service. Yes, Heartland was conservative, yeah.
If you bring in
if they weren't so far away, I'd be more supportive of them.
I think one of our missionaries were in Boston. I think that's where his kids are.
Yeah, I think it's probably the best school.
He said, what teenagers? Every three teenagers need to have an adult. He said, well, the little ones, every five need to have an adult.
He's taking distance learning, but hopefully in another year he'll actually show up there on campus.
He said, all right. That's another thing he said. He said,
I took a couple girls to Pensacola this summer.
Or at the back.
I don't know whether that's going to pan out or not. I want to stay closer to home. Kind of shocked him. Took us 8 hours to get there.
Some kids need to cut the apron strings.
Yeah.
Quite a while back.
But some don't. God knows that.
Thank you, Mrs. Long. Was that the sheriff of Hardy County?
Yes.
They were next.